السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه ومن استن بسنته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، وقد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، قل يا أيها الكافرون لا أعبد ما تعبدون ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد ولا أنا عابد ما عبدتم ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد لكم دينكم ولي دين. صدق الله العظيم. All praise and all thanks is only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who's granted us yet a beautiful opportunity of gathering on the day of Jumu'ah in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq of appreciating this Mubarak day. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that we are able to increase salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this day. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that the last day in our life is the day of Jumu'ah. Today we wish to discuss, inshallah, the surah, Suratul Kafirun. The Suratul Kafirun is such an apt and appropriate surah, especially in this time and age, to understand the meaning and to recite it, to contemplate over it. Especially what we're seeing around us, when there's so much of confusion with regards to how we see Islam, how do we see our deen, how our deen fits in the modern society, with the different attacks that are coming against Islam, with the different attacks to desensitize the way we worship, to desensitize our feelings about Islam, to desensitize our strictness and adherence to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So it is very important that we look at it. Very recently we find in our country that sometimes statements like this, sweeping statements like this are being made, that religion doesn't matter so long as the person is good. Religion doesn't matter at all. So these sort of statements are very dangerous. As we go along, inshallah, we'll explain. There are certain instances when religion doesn't matter, but when it comes to acts of worship, when it comes to acts of religious beliefs, when it comes to our deen, then there we're not allowed to compromise even one inch. So with regards to the Surah Kafirun, inshallah, in this few minutes that we have, we'll try and explain it and we'll try and understand it. Such a beautiful surah. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that it's better for you to recite in the sunnat of Fajr Salah, Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun in the first rakat, Qul huwallah in the second rakat. In other words, these two surahs, person is starting the day with these two surahs. As we go through the meaning, we'll see how much of tawheed, oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is contained in these two surahs. Allama Ibn Kathir rahmatullahi alayhi mentions in several ahadith that large number of sahaba would report that they heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam reciting in the sunnah of Fajr Salah and in the sunnah of Maghrib Salah these two surahs, Surah Kafirun and Surah Ikhlas, Qul huwallahu ahad. Some companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they came up to Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam, they requested him to teach them a dua that they should recite at the time of sleeping. Some dua, some supplication that they can make at the time of sleeping. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam told them to recite Surah Kafirun and said that this surah will give you immunity from idolatry. From idol worship, this surah will give you immunity. Nowadays we talk about vaccines and other things that people speak about immunity. But immunity from shirk, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving us this prescription that before you sleep, read Suratul Kafirun. Hazrat Jubair ibn Mut'im radiallahu anhu, he says that on one occasion Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked me whether I want to be the happiest person, I want to be the most prosperous person, I want to be the most well-to-do person when I'm going on a journey. So he explains now that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked me this question. So naturally what a person will say, yes, that I would like to be the most well-to-do, most prosperous person, most happiest person when traveling. In those days we know how hard it is to travel. Nowadays also when people have to travel in those areas, in the Arab lands, it's so hot, it's so difficult. But imagine at that time Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asking, you'll be the happiest, most prosperous, most well-to-do person. So then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that this is what you must read. In fact, this is nice for us to learn. So whenever we are traveling, we read. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, read the last five surahs, starting from Suratul Kafirun. Start with Bismillah and end the surah with Bismillah. Then you go to the next surah, Idha Ja'a Nasrullahi Wal Fath, starting with Bismillah, ending with Bismillah. Like that, the person reads all the surahs. Only surah he excludes from there is Surah Lahab. Tabbat Yada Abi Lahabyu Wa Tab. So he's getting five surahs that he's reading, starting with Bismillah, ending with Bismillah. So he's reading five surahs with six Bismillahs. As Jubair ibn Mut'im, radiallahu anhu, he narrates that I was the most distressed person. I was a very poor person. I was in difficult situations. But once I started practicing on this, what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me, that I was one of the most prosperous person, most happiest person when I would travel on journey. This was the yaqeen they had on the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu explains that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once bitten by a scorpion. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was bitten, he asked for water and he asked for salt. We know salt is a natural disinfectant. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam now took that salt water, he applied on that wound that he had, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited Surah Kafirun, Surah Falak and Surah Nas. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam blew on that spot. So here we understand that how much of power there is in Suratul Kafirun. So let us go even further now to see now what is related to the Surah Kafirun, that what relevance it has, what was the reason for its revelation. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like how we're seeing now, there was many attempts, like how we're seeing the different accords taking place. Sometimes it's called Cape Accord, sometimes it's called Makkah Accord, sometimes it's referred to now as the Abrahamic Accord. Different accords that are coming in place to see how we can all be one, how we can all be united. Let our religious beliefs don't divide us. In other words, religion must take a back seat. The fact that we are human beings, that should come first. Let us see how we can unite on the basis of being human beings. Now this proposal also had come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The leaders of the Quraysh, some senior people from the Quraysh had come. As ibn Wa'il, Aswad ibn Abdul Muttalib, Umayyah ibn Khalaf. They approached Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They said, let's make a compromise. What compromise we'll do is, you worship our idols for 1 year, we will worship Allah Ta'ala for 1 year. So 1 year, 1 year, we'll come to some compromise. So then we'll have peace. We are like all on one level, exactly what we're seeing today. People are saying, let us all worship together, Jews, Christians, Muslims. Let us all come together in one place of worship. Let us not divide ourselves. So this proposal came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another proposal had come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that what we will do is we will make you the wealthiest person of Makkah. The most wealthiest person of Makkah. We'll give you any woman of your choice. You marry her, she'll be yours. And only thing we're requesting you to do is, only thing we want for you to do is that don't speak out against our idols. Don't, that's all. We're not asking for too much. Don't speak out against us. That's all. Don't speak out against our idol worship, etc. Then we'll give you so much. And another proposal came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What proposal came is that we will accept you, no problem. All you need to do is just come and touch some of our idols. Give some barakat. In other words, just show some level of affinity with us. Show some level of affiliation with us. Just touch some of our idols. And if you do that, we are prepared to believe in you. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when these proposals were coming, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam. There's time to bring definity, decisiveness, that what is Islam? What is Islam all about? When it comes to religious beliefs, do we share, do we express kindness with the non-Muslims, or are we different? When it comes, remember, when it comes to humanitarian efforts, when it comes to feeding, when it comes to kindness, then there's no comparison to Islam. There's none that can compare with Islam to such an extent that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one hadith, there are many hadith like this mentioned, this hadith mentioned Muslim Sharif and Bukhari Sharif, that once there was a person that was traveling on a road. It was extremely hot. He was feeling very, very thirsty. So what he did was he climbed into the well, and when he drank, he helped himself, he drank water, and then he climbed out of the well. When he climbed out of the well, he saw there was a dog there. Yeah, we're not talking about a human being, we're talking of an animal. He saw that there was a dog that was licking, was lapping away on the mud around that well. It was very, very thirsty. This man thought to himself that how I was feeling thirsty just before this poor animal is also feeling thirsty. He jumped back into the well and he filled up his leather sock that he was wearing. He filled it up with water. Now how he's going to get himself out? The hadith mentions he puts this leather sock in his mouth so that he can carry the leather sock with the water in his mouth, and now he helps himself out. And when he helps himself out, then what he does, he comes and gives this water to the dog to drink. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said Allah Ta'ala appreciated what this man did. Allah Ta'ala had forgiven him. Sahaba asked, "Oh Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that inna lil bahaimi ajrun, that is there any reward even for animals?" They were shocked that for an animal there's a reward. Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam said, "Fi kulli kabidi ratbatin ajrun," for every living creature a person shows kindness to, there is reward. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us that kindness we show to everyone when it comes to feeding, when it comes to humanitarian efforts, to such an extent even with regards to plants also. Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam mentioned that person who plants a tree, he plants a tree, every creature that eats from it, every bird, every insect, every human being that benefits from the tree, this person is getting rewarded. To such an extent, if somebody even steals from the tree, this person is getting rewarded for that person eating from there. Obviously, the person that stole, he'll get guna for his stealing, but the person that planted the tree will even get reward for that also. People benefiting in the shade, this person is getting reward. In one hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam explains that when you're planting palm trees, how much of space to leave between the palm trees so that they can get correct sunlight, they can get sufficient water. So Nabi has shown so many things in deen. So when it comes to animals, kindness, when it comes to humanitarian efforts, we are shown exactly how to be kind. So this kindness is something that we have been taught. It's not something that is beyond us. However, when it comes to religious beliefs, Islam is very, very, very categoric. There is no compromising in this. Let's go through the surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, address them and say, O kafirs, plural of kafir, kafirun. لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ. They wanted compromise. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was told, tell them this, that I don't worship what you worship. All those deities, those false gods, whatever you're worshipping, I don't worship. وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدُ. And you don't worship the, what that I worship, that one Allah that I worship, you people don't worship. And then again, وَلَا أَنَا عَابِدٌ مَا عَبَدْتُمْ. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told to tell them that I don't worship what you worship. Ulama explained that is why it's mentioned very similar in the first part of the surah, and again here is to show the emphasis. Number one, emphasis. Number two is with this meaning that currently I don't worship what you worship, and never ever will I ever worship what you worship. In the future also, it won't happen. وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدُ. And you people don't worship what I worship. Again, for emphasis, لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينَ. For you, one explanation, Imam Bukhari takes this explanation, for you is your deen, and for me is my deen. Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi, when explaining this, he says, for you is your punishment, and for me it means my reward. لَنَا أَعْمَالُنَا وَلَكُمْ أَعْمَالُكُمْ. For us is our deeds that we do, and for you we'll get the punishment of those things that you do. So in other words, we got absolutely nothing to do with you. There's no compromising at all as far as deen is concerned. Look how categoric this thing is. So this talk today that we all must be equal, religion doesn't matter. If the archbishop passes away, we must start praising him. This got absolutely nothing to do with our deen. In fact, this got it's so distant from our deen. When things, as I mentioned first, when it comes to general humanitarian, then we don't. A man is a non-Muslim, we help him, we assist him. A person doesn't believe in Islam, even maybe an atheist also, but because he's a human being, we help him, we assist him. But the moment it comes to religious beliefs and anything connected with religion, we don't ever compromise, even to the extent of praising a non-Muslim for his worship. We don't ever praise him for the things that he do. A Muslim is very, very careful. Nowadays we find this common statements that divinity in humanity, so long as a person is good, it doesn't matter what his religious beliefs. Here we are seeing such a clear thing. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is told, tell these people, don't even compromise. Imagine, he was just told to touch the idols, nothing else, and they were prepared to believe in him. He wasn't prepared to do that. How can we ever even talk about sharing interfaith platforms with these people? How can we ever talk about praising those people that are promoting things against Islam and against the deen? In the one ayat of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala mentions, لَا تَجِدِ قُوْمِ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ يُوَادُّونَ مَنْ حَادَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ. You won't find those people that have iman, believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believe in the last day, that they will have love for those people that oppose Allah Ta'ala and Rasulullah. They never have love for them. They'll never ever have love. Under this ayat, there are a few incidents that is mentioned. Ibn Juraij, Rahmatullah Ali, mentioned that Abu Quhafa. Abu Quhafa was the father of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. On one occasion, he swore, the father, he was not a Muslim at that time. So he swore Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu gave him such a hard smack that his father fell down. And then he came and he told Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that this is what I did. Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam said, did you really do that? He said, yes. Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam said that don't be excessive with your father. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu replied, look at the love he had for Rasulullah. This person swore you. This was his father. But look at the love that he had for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam, wallahi lo kana sayfu qariban minni laqataltuhu. That I take an oath in Allah, if a sword was near me, I would have killed my own father for you. Such love he had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So a Muslim that loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believes in Allah, there's no such thing as getting close to non-Muslim as far as the beliefs is concerned. There's no such thing as compromising. There's no such thing as wishing Merry Christmas, Happy Diwali. There's no such thing as even desensitizing ourselves to their religious beliefs. For them, lakum deenukum waliya deen. When it comes to religious beliefs, we are very, very clear. When it comes to humanitarian efforts, yes, we help everyone. But for religious beliefs, we stay very far. We don't even wish them well on those days wherein they celebrate their religion, when they have something to do with their religion. There was another Sahabi, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, narrates that Hazrat Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu, he killed his father, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Jarrah, now in the battle of Uhud. Then this ayat was revealed. Imagine. Now here we talk, just be human being, be kind, it's good enough. You think Sahaba didn't know? They were killing their own family members for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it comes to deen, there's no compromise. Deen comes first, even before our own family members. Forget talking about human beings. And then one more incident we'll mention and we'll terminate. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he killed his khal. Khal means mamu, his mother's brother. His name was As ibn Hisham ibn Mughira in the battle of Badr. So he killed him for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here we see that how Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and Sahaba, they are separated from their own family members for the sake of deen. They separated from Makkatul Mukarrama. They separated from those people that were close to them, so that deen can be very, very clear. Let us be very careful of these new things that are creeping in, that we all are one. It doesn't matter what our beliefs are. No, beliefs matter so much. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't even wish. He was prepared to sacrifice so much. All he needed to do was touch some idols. He refused. Here we're talking about bringing everybody together on the name, in the name of peace. It can never ever happen. We can't sacrifice. We can never ever sacrifice our deen and our religious beliefs. What we believe in is what we believe in. Let them believe in what they believe. But our deeni beliefs, we can't sacrifice it, and we can't pollute it also by wishing well for others when they are celebrating and having their religious beliefs. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.